Jesus Christ. In my sermon preparation, I came across this poem, which you may have heard. It's actually quite commonly quoted. So listen to this. You are writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by deeds that you do, by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Now, we know lots of people that may not be hearing or heeding the gospel, but they may be getting their idea of Jesus Christ by reading your Christian life. Jesus said to his disciples, remember, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Christ's apostle John tells us Christians something that's really amazing. And it's true of us who are born of God, who have heard and do believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, as the apostles testified to Jesus Christ. John tells us essentially that if we love one another, we are revealing our Father in heaven to those who see us loving one another. Because the love that we demonstrate is God's love. It's God's love perfected in us. Perfected in us as we are loving one another. Now, that can be true only of us who are born of God, who are made partakers of His Spirit. And as we see, that Spirit is the Spirit of truth and love. So when people read our lives, and they read our lives as they see how we are in our homes, as they see us as we interact with one another, as they see us as we are part of the church, as they see us as we respond to others out in the world, when they read us as being compassionate, self-sacrificing, concern with that we show love rather than the usual indifference, rather than the usual selfishness, they are seeing God in us. They are seeing the effects of God dwelling in us. They see the effects of God having given us of His Spirit. They see the effects of His Spirit, God having given us of His Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, to believe the truth, to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in what He has done for us, and to see, and they see our experience, our knowing God, because our lives are changed. We love rather than hate. They see the effects of us trusting in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who has redeemed us from the power of sin, from the power of natural self-centeredness, selfishness, and by His Spirit indwelling in us, that effect of that Spirit dwelling in us, God abiding in us, is that we now show love. And that's only because God has given us of His Spirit who dwells in us. So this is an amazing thing. By our love for one another, and again, this is that sacrificial love we've looked at earlier. It's compassionate love. It's doing for someone else at the cost to you. By our love for one another, we are revealing to others the unseen God of the gospel. And we can do so only, we are doing so only because God is dwelling in us, because God has perfected His love in us, so that we do love one another. So listen again to this text. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. It's an amazing thing. God's love is perfected in us. We are made partakers of God's love. As He gives us of His Spirit, who is the Spirit of love. God's Spirit is the Spirit of love, because God is love. And so as we love one another, we're showing God's love, and that means we're revealing who God is. God is the God of love, as John has been highlighting that characteristic of God. So John, we've seen this throughout this letter, he's been emphasizing our love to one another. It shows that, you know, we're walking in the light, that we have fellowship with the light. And so when we are loving one another, that's assurance of our salvation. It's assurance of being in eternal fellowship with the light, being in eternal fellowship with God and the light of the world, Jesus Christ. It's assuring because we could not love one another if that wasn't true of us. Because our love for one another flows out of God's, out of our Christ's Heavenly Father's love in the sending of His Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's what John has said. That's a demonstration of God's love, is Christ coming in the flesh to be the propitiation for our sins so that we might have life through Him. And so our love for one another is assuring to us of having everlasting life, because only by God's love in sending the Son that we might live through Him do we show that we have that life, because that's the life that loves. And we can love only because we have that life, that new life in Christ Jesus, who redeemed us from the power of sin and selfishness and gave us life through His resurrection. So it's only as we are born of God, recipients of God's love in Jesus Christ, that we can love not only God, but also one another, love our neighbor as well. So again, that love that we show to one another, that love of God who abides in us by His Spirit, that love that is the love of God perfected in us who are born of Him, that's just an amazing thing to think about. That the love of God is in us, perfected as we love one another. Think about that. Next time you interact with a fellow Christian or with somebody outside the church as well, we can actually show, we can actually reveal God by our love for others. So we want to look at this amazing and assuring truth as God sets it up for us. And He sets it up for us by this rather abrupt statement. You kind of wonder, where is this coming from? He says, no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. And the context for Him saying that is that that's true. No one has ever seen God, but God can be revealed by our love for one another. The unseen God is witnessed by our love for one another, because God is love and we're showing it. Now, no one has ever seen God. John says the very same thing in his gospel account in chapter 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. And the Apostle Paul, who writes to Timothy, proclaims that same truth. In 1 Timothy 6:16, he's speaking of Christ, the Lord of lords and King of kings. In other words, he spoke about the deity of Christ who came in the flesh. And he says, Paul says, no one has ever seen or can see God, because God is spirit. And God can't be seen by mortals' eyes. You can't see God as you live here on this earth. John adds in this gospel account, after he says no one has seen God, he says this: the only begotten Son, who is Himself God, is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. And what does Hebrews tell us about Jesus Christ? It says is that the incarnate Son of God, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, and He's the exact expression or imprint of God's nature. So when Jesus says, as we read, the one who has seen Me has seen the Father, He didn't mean that with their eyes, with their mortal fleshly eyes, they saw the Son of God's incarnate nature. And because Christ is the same as His Father in heaven, that they would have seen the deity of the Father as well. He didn't mean that. They could not see the deity of God, because no one has ever seen the deity of God. So when the disciples saw Jesus with their own eyes, when they touched him with their own hands, they were seeing and touching him as he was fully man. They could not see his divine nature, but as they spent time with Jesus, they saw him demonstrate that he was the imprint of God's nature. They saw him demonstrate the glory of the Godhead by what he did, by the way he lived. They saw the character of his Father in heaven. They saw God's love. They saw God's mercy. They saw God's righteousness. They saw God's holiness. They saw God's justice revealed in Jesus' behavior. But they did not see God as he is deity. They saw only the exact imprint of deity, of his nature. Now, before God revealed himself in the person of Jesus, in other words, showed the radiance of his glory, showed in Jesus the exact imprint of his nature. Before God did that, in other words, we're talking about the Old Testament history, God revealed himself to some in a form that suggested what he was like. But they did not see his actual deity then either. Like, for instance, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That's God revealing himself as a protector, as a guide. Those appearances of God in some form that could be seen with human eyes are called theophanies. Often, those theophanies are referred by the people who experience them as they talk with the angel of the Lord, like to Hagar and Abraham and Jacob. And sometimes the theophanies were in human form, like when Jacob wrestled with a man who turned out to be a pre-incarnation God. And remember, the Lord promised to Moses, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you." And the Lord also said to Moses, "I will cover you because humans cannot see me and live." So what John says in our text, that no man has seen God, is true and remains true as long as we live in our human bodies on this earth. All these theophanies are best explained as God revealing himself prior to his incarnation, revealing something of himself prior to his coming in the flesh as Jesus, Jesus being the fullest revelation of God's nature. As we saw, he was the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of his nature. And we have further testimony to Jesus being the highest form of God's testimony to who God is. In Colossians, it says, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." So the deity dwelt in Jesus, but you couldn't see it. You could just see him who was the man. But that deity, that Godhead, that spirit, no man has ever seen. And no one will see God as he is until we who are born of God are enabled to see him as he is. 1 John 3:2 tells us that we will see him as he is. But when? Not now, but when we're glorified, when we have our resurrection bodies, then we'll see God as he is. So again, the truth remains, beloved, until then, and John brings it out again here in our text from 1 John 4, no one has ever seen God, that is his deity. Now, that's an important thing to think about, because there's a lot of people who want to see God, and they're looking for visions of, I want to see God. They're looking for some way to actually see him now, which can't be done and won't be done. But here's this amazing reality. If we Christians, born of God, love one another, the unseen God is, in a sense, seen by his spirit-enabled love that we show to one another. That's an amazing thing to hear that. You can't see God, but we reveal God, who is love, by our love for one another, because it's his love that's being perfected in us. When John writes of God's love perfected in us, it's not implying that somehow God's love is somehow imperfect and needs perfection. because God is perfect in all of his characteristics. And since love is one of his characteristics, his love has always been perfect. So his perfect love perfected in us. So what does that mean? It means that, and that's what the meaning of the Greek verb is there, is that means that God's love is brought to its intended completion. It's brought to its intended purpose. It's brought to its goal, to its full finish in our loving one another. That's what that means. When we love one another, God's love is perfected in us because we're doing what God intended us to do as he loves us in Christ, to love one another. So once God has given us to be born of him by his Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ as well, his love becomes complete in our love for one another. Again, that's an amazing truth, but that's what John is telling us. Now, complete, fulfilled his love is in us doesn't mean that we love one another perfectly, because we all know that will never be the case as long as we live on this earth, because we love one another as we're still living in the flesh. We're still afflicted with our sinful nature that clings to our flesh. And so our love is flawed by our sin yet. But when we love one another, that's yet, even if it's flawed, that's still the perfect love of God that we're showing to one another. We couldn't show love if it wasn't God's love being perfected in us. And so we reveal God's glorious love when we love one another. And again, we can only reveal God's love to others by our loving one another as we are born of him, as he has given us of his Spirit. Now remember, as we look through all of the scriptures, we know that God is always desirous that we glorify him. That's the reason he saved us, redeemed us from the power of sin, that we might live to his glory, have that new life that does glorify him in what we say and what we do. It's the chief end, his glory, that for which God saved us through Christ Jesus. And so our love for one another, well, look at this in terms of glorifying God. Our love for one another, since it's God's love perfected in us, well, that's a work of the Spirit. We are partaking of the Spirit, so therefore we are enabled to love as God loves. It's a work of the Spirit. It's God giving us his Spirit. And so as we show that work to others by loving one another, then God is glorified, because then what are we doing? We're what Jesus said we should do. We are shining as lights to the world. Our loving one another is a good work enabled by the indwelling Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. It's a good work so that when others see it, they may glorify our Father in heaven too. In other words, we're showing them the God who is love. And God can use that to have them look at us and see God abiding in us and lead them to also come to God, to experience the same love in Christ as we witness that to them. So when we read that God's love is perfected in us, you know, it's kind of like, they help us understand that, it's kind of like a seed. You take a seed of a flower, you know, you put it in the soil. Well, the seed is perfect in the sense that it's got everything in it that will yield a flower, but it's not perfected until it yields the flower, until it has flowered. It's like that for us. See, God's love isn't perfected in us as he sheds it into our hearts by his Spirit. It's perfected as it flows out of us in love for one another. That's what John is saying. If we love one another, then God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So that perfection of God's love in us is as we love one another. As one commentator well summarized it, God's love, which originates with God himself, and that love of God was manifested in the Son, that's what we read, right? God demonstrates love in the sending of his Son into the world that we might live through him. So God is the originator of love. God manifests his love in Jesus Christ, but it's made complete in us, his people, as we love one another. That's what it's saying. I mean, that's an amazing truth. So if we look back over the gospel, over the letter of John as we've been looking at it, he's given us three reasons why we should love one another. And you remember, that's a calling to us, right? We read that last time. Beloved, if God so loved us, we should love one another. So three reasons that John has given us. We are to love one another because God is love. And we born of him know God. And he has said, the one who does not love does not know God. Well, if we know God, which we know by the faith he works in us, to trust in Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of God's glory, who is the imprint of his nature. If we know this God, then we know he's a God of love, and we know him because he's loved us. And so we are to love one another because his love is being perfected in us. So that's a reason. Number two, they all kind of relate to one another. Number two, we are to love one another because God loved us by sending his son. So there's the call again. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we should love one another. So that's two. One, God is love, so we should love. Two, he sent his son into the world, showed his love, so we should love because God is love. And three, if we are loving one another, then we are also assured that God is abiding in us and his love is complete in us, because only as God abides in us by his Spirit, the Spirit of love, can we love with God's love. That's the only way it can happen. So those are reasons that we should love one another. So John says here this other amazing truth, right, that if we love one another, God remains in us, or God abides in us. That's a wonderful truth. Because if God abides in you, if God abides in us, the church, that means we are in fellowship with God. Because we can only have fellowship with God as he abides in us, as he has loved us through Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God means we are reconciled to him and he to us. You know, to think about God abiding in us, actually dwelling in us, that's like going back and looking at the way it was before sin entered the world. That's like paradise when God abided with Adam and Eve. They walked together in the cool of the evening. That's true of us now. So we have fellowship with God if God abides with us. Of course, that abiding with God will reach its fullest expression in the new heavens and the new earth, because then we'll abide with him out of the total absence, the presence of sin. Everything will be perfect. That's what we're looking forward to. But already now he abides with us as we are in Christ, as we experience his love in Christ. So having fellowship with God means that we are considered righteous by God. That's all of that, as God abides with it, that means all of that to us. We are back with God, in favor with God, no more condemnation. That's what it means to have God abide in us. And remember when God promised to Abraham and then repeated that promise often to others, to Isaac and Jacob, I will be God to you, and you shall be my people, and I will give you a land. I will dwell in your midst. All those promises that we see repeated throughout the scriptures. Well, we know that all the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. And it is the Christ, our Redeemer, whose Spirit dwells in us so that the promise is fulfilled. God dwells with us. He abides in us, we, his people, whom he has saved through the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And it's that, and as we... And we know that he abides in us because the fruit of his abiding in us is that we love as he loved. We love with his love. We love one another. So that's what John tells us in our text. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We know it. He abides in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Given us of his Spirit. So listen to this. The us, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. The us is us whom the Father sent his Son into the world to redeem. Us who are Christ's, purchased to be his by his precious shed blood. And if we are Christ's, that we read this from Romans 8 this morning, if we are Christ, then we have the Spirit of Christ, God's Spirit, dwelling in us and making us partakers of His gifts. So God has given us of His spirits. In other words, we receive the gifts of the Spirit. And what is the primary gift of the Spirit that Galatians lists first? Love. The gift of the Spirit is love. So if we are Christ, then we have the Spirit of Christ. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we're not His. But if we are Christ, we have His Spirit, which means we are given of His Spirit. And those things that we're given of His Spirit that John is focused in mostly is love. God is love. His Spirit is love. So we partake of the Spirit, so we love. God perfects His love in us as we love one another. So, how do we know that God abides in us? Because we see the fruit of His Spirit, the Spirit of love, in us loving one another. So, if we're loving one another, that's why that's assurance of salvation. Because it is by the Spirit of the Savior, Jesus Christ alone, that we can love one another. And so, if His Spirit dwells in us and works in us, gives us, enables us to love one another, that means we are Christ's. That means we're saved. That means we have life. We show that life, the life in Christ, by loving one another. Now, we get more from the Spirit than just love, because that's also related to what John has been saying, because the Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. Mentioned that before. He's the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of love. In John 14, He calls the Spirit of truth. Jesus did. We read that. And it is by the Spirit of truth that Christ's apostles could speak the truth about who Jesus is. It was only Jesus said in Acts 1, you know, when I send the Holy Spirit upon you, then you will be my witnesses in all the world. They needed to be filled with the Spirit. They needed to partake of the Spirit before they could be witnesses to Christ, before they could teach who Christ is to us. And so the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. They wrote the truth about Jesus, and we can know the truth about Jesus by His Spirit, because the Spirit is the one who opens our eyes to the truth, so we believe it when we hear it. So again, only as God has made us partakers of the Spirit, gives us of the Spirit, can we know the truth and can we love. All comes from God through His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. It's by the Spirit dwelling in us, who is the Spirit of truth, that we believe that, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of man. He is the only Redeemer. He's the only one who can deliver me from the bondage of sin and give me new life. We believe that truth because the Spirit of truth has granted us to believe it. And as we believe it, that truth is effective. You know, the gospel penetrates down to our very marrow of our bones. It transforms us as our minds are renewed by the truth. And so we love. We love one another because we partake of the truth that trusts in Jesus Christ to be our Redeemer, that He is God's love manifested to us. And then in that truth, we love one another because we are partakers of the Spirit, not only of truth, but of love. So John goes on to say, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior, God remains in him and he in God. Now, there's two things here that are rather interesting that we should pay note to. In this letter, John speaks of Jesus both as the Son who has come in the flesh, which speaks of his humanity, Jesus, the Son of man, and here that Jesus is the Son of God, that speaks of his deity, his divinity. So again, when we confess Jesus Christ, we are confessing that Jesus Christ as the apostles testified to him, Son of God and Son of man. He's the only Redeemer. And he says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God here, the Savior, God remains in him and he in God. So confession of Jesus Christ is not just saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. It's a confession that heeds the truth, believes the truth, and the truth in us is manifested by our lives. by our lives of living in the truth and loving one another. So why does John say that? Whoever confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior, God remains in him and he in God. Because no one can confess, no one can believe in, no one can trust, no one can have life in Jesus Christ except that he has been led into the truth by the Spirit of truth who God has given to him, who abides in him, God abiding in him by way of his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. You can't confess that Jesus is the Christ and mean the Jesus who is, the apostolic Jesus. You can't confess him sincerely unless you know the truth, which is by his Spirit leading you into all truth, which he does using his word. So God abiding in us, when we, as we confess Jesus Christ the Savior, then we know that God abides in us. It's the Spirit of Christ, the incarnate Christ, the crucified Christ, the resurrected Christ who sent his Spirit into the church. He abides in us. That's why we confess Jesus Christ. That's why we can love. That's why God's love is perfected in us. It's all by God dwelling in us by his Spirit, the Spirit of our Savior Jesus Christ. So you kind of can sum all this up by saying that confessing Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the apostolic testimony, confessing Jesus Christ and loving one another is really all about receiving new life in Christ from his Spirit. That's what it comes down to. It's that new life that we have, that God gives us in Christ, that yields confessing him, that yields loving one another. And why is that? Why is that necessary, that God's Spirit be given to us for us to know the truth, to confess Jesus Christ and to love one another? Because it's only as God gives us that new life by his Spirit that you and I overcome our natural suppression of the truth and unrighteousness. That's where we're all at. Romans 1 tells us that. But by his Spirit, the Spirit of truth, our suppression of the truth is overcome. And now we say, yes, that is the truth. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the God who created all things, whose testimony I see all around me in the creation, as Romans 1 says. And also, we know that by nature in Adam, who fell into sin, what's true of us? We are prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. So for us to love one another requires that that old nature be put to death, that it's no longer ruling our lives. And that can only happen as we have new life in Christ through his Spirit. And so when John says that everyone who confesses Jesus Christ, God abides in him, that's true, because God has to abide in him by his Spirit in order for him to confess Jesus Christ and to love one another. You know, Jesus tells us something rather true about the God who is Spirit. Remember, he's talking to Nicodemus, and he says, you know, this work of the Spirit is like the wind. You can't see the wind, that you can't see it, but you can see where it's been. You can see the effects of the wind. Makes me think of the pictures that we saw from Alabama, the last tornado went through there. You can see the effects of the wind. It's clear by the destruction in that case. But you and I can't see the Spirit. We can't see God, his deity. God is Spirit. We can't detect the Spirit. We can't detect God by any of our senses. Just like the wind, you know it's been active. The Spirit has been active by its effects. That's how we know the Spirit has been here, has done work, by the effects. And what are the effects that assure us of God abiding in you, in us? Well, here's the effects of God abiding in you by the Spirit. Do you confess the truth that Jesus is the Christ come in the flesh to be the Savior? Do you confess that truth? That's an effect of the Spirit having worked, being present in you. Have you come to know and believe the love of God in sending his beloved son. Do you believe in that love of God that he manifested in the sending of his son? That's another effect, to believe that, of the Spirit dwelling in you, God abiding in you. Do you love with the love that is self-sacrificing, that is concerned for the good of others? That's an effect of God abiding in you by his Spirit. And only in those in whom God abides do those effects show up. Because otherwise, you couldn't love. Otherwise, you couldn't confess the truth sincerely. So, this effect of the Holy Spirit, of God giving us of his Spirit, is that your new life shows up. You are writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by what you say and by what you do. That's the effect of God abiding in you. That's the effect of God's Spirit, the Spirit of truth and love abiding in you. That's the effect of your having been given new life in Christ. Remember, God demonstrated his love in sending his Son into the world that you might live through him. That's the effect of God's love. Your life. Your love for one another. You're confessing the truth and living in that truth. So there are other effects of God abiding in you that we could list, and here's some of them. You know, do you have a priority concern for the things of God and his kingdom? Which, as John earlier said, really translates also into, do not love the world. If we don't love the world, but we love his kingdom, that's a fruit, that's an effect of the Holy Spirit, God abiding in us. Do you love God's word? And love and desire to be fed by it when this church gathers for worship. That's an effect of God abiding in you. Do you hate your sin? And are you struggling against your own flesh on a daily basis? That's another effect of God dwelling in you, God's Spirit at work in you to sanctify you. Are you desirous and willing to become more and more conformed to Jesus? To amend your life to be more and more fitting for the name of his that you bear. And we do know that God's perfecting of his love in you, it will not yield the full blossoming of our love for one another until the church is glorified through the resurrection of us in whom God abides. That's what we look for. Perfect love, perfect peace. That's our destiny as God abides in us and will come back to take us to where he is. His Spirit is with us now. Christ's Spirit is with us, but Christ will come back in the flesh as he ascended to take us to where he is, and then we'll be perfect in our love for one another. But in the meantime, and that's why this is applicable to us right here, John is not writing to those who are already in heaven. He's writing to us who live yet on this earth in our mortal bodies with eyes that can't see the deity of God. In spite of us Christians still burdened with the remains of our sinful nature, which is true of us now, yet his Spirit is at work in us because he abides in us and we partake of his Spirit. God has given us of his Spirit. So we have fellowship with God right now. It's not perfected yet, as it will be in the new heavens and new earth, but we have it right now as the Spirit of God grants us to confess the truth and to demonstrate the new life by loving one another as God perfects his love in us. See, God is faithful. He's faithful. He will persevere us to keep believing the truth. There's just Jesus Christ through all the means of grace that we are to avail ourselves of. And by his enabling Spirit, already now, we can love one another. We can make ourselves willing, strengthened in Christ, to interact with others, not with the I don't care, self-preoccupied attitude that's more normal to us, but rather with concern, compassion, we can love one another in the manner with which God loved us in Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might have life in him. And so my prayer is that this applies to me, applies to you, to all who profess to be Christians. Let us who know and believe in God's love, let us be indeed writing that gospel of God's transforming love in Christ Jesus every day of our lives. Not only for our own assurance, it's testimony that God abides in us as we love, but also so our Christian lives shine as lights in the darkness and witness the light of life, the Jesus Christ of the gospel. Let us be loving one another for our own assurance and for a witness to others. Amen.